بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد. We began the discussion on the beautiful name of Allah جل جلاله الحفيظ. To just reiterate and to, as a reminder, we know when it comes to the name of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when the name of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is taken, then we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first time we hear it in the majlis, then it's wajib to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or else that person is termed as a miser. That you heard my name, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the miser is that person who hears my name and doesn't send salawat upon me. He's a miser. So that masala we know, that the first time we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wajib. Thereafter, when you hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we say, it's mustahab to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One point over here also, our Hazrat, our Shaykh, Imam Abdul Hamid Sahib says, we try to avoid using the word prophet. We don't say prophet. Prophet, we look in the old Oxford dictionary, you will find the definition of prophet. They have their soothsayer, magician, fortune teller, the one that prophesies. That wasn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wasn't a soothsayer, a magician. That was a Makkah, the people of Makkah calling these names out of abuse, the vile language. So we say Rasulullah, or the messenger, speaking to a non-Muslim now, we say the messenger, may peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Use the Arabic terms. Yeah, as much as possible, we Arabicize the English language. Use the Arabic terms. Now this is happening because we're on the internet or social media, so we're using also those type of phrases that they use. Pray for me. See, make dua for me. Don't use those terms, pray for me. Pray is something else and dua is something else. They pray, when they say prayer, is something else in their connotation, so to say. So we use the Arabic terms. So we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the same way as Hakim Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala also, when we hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the first time, then we should attach something to that. Speaker is speaking, he should also say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah jalla jalaluhu, Allah jalla jalaluhu, wa amma nawaluhu. Whatever it is, to attach some words of respect and reverence to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's name. And the listeners also, when you're sitting in the majlis, we hear the name of Allah, we also say Allah jalla jalaluhu, that we elevate and we give due respect to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the sha'air, we call sha'air of deen, the salient features, the landmarks, the outstanding features of deen, we also give a due respect. وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Allah تبارك وتعالى says, and those people who show due respect and reverence to the شَعَائِر, شَعَائِر as I mentioned, the salient features, landmarks of deen, then verily that is from the taqwa of your heart. So we don't say just Quran. Even the non-Muslims, they say the Holy Bible. When they say Quran, they say Quran Sharif. We don't say Holy Quran also. They use the word Holy, we say Quran Sharif. Ramadan also we say Ramadan Sharif. Kaaba Sharif. Makkah Mukarrama. Mu'azzama. Medina Munawwara. We don't just say I'm going to Makkah, I'm going to Medina. Like how we take all the other cities of the world, I'm going to this country or that country or this city. Makkah Mukarrama is a special place. Medina Munawwara is a special place. So we use special words for it also. So by using these types of words, you show the taqwa of your heart. The attachment you have to these things. You hold it in reverence. You hold it in high esteem. Allah Ta'ala says, that is the taqwa of your heart. So all these salient features of deen, Hazrat Wala taught us, or Shaykh taught us, that show the due respect to these things. Allah Ta'ala will grant you the taqwa. So we began the discussion on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's name, Al-Hafiz, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the protector, and how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala does protect. If Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has to withhold His protection, the entire universe right now. Hazrat explains also that we believe in the law of gravity. Imagine Allah Ta'ala to release the gravity, what will happen? But Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, He says the world is round. So logically speaking, if the world is round, those people that are now, so to say, in Europe, they should be falling down. They'll be walking up, slanted. And those that are walking in Cape Town, the bottom of the earth, they should be falling off the earth already. But Allah Ta'ala is holding everything together. But how they prove it? They say gravity. So what they do? They exclude Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They exclude Allah Jalla Jalla. Allah is holding it together. Allah put the gravity there. There's a law, the command of Allah. Allah wants to release it, who's going to hold it? Allah Ta'ala protect our brothers in Morocco and Nubia. Just a little bit Allah released. Little bit Allah released. Just a little bit earthquake. Bit of water Allah Ta'ala released. Ya Allah, insan can't do anything with all this technology. Allah chose your hifazat compared to mine is nothing. I am protecting. You can be fi burujim mushayyada, fortified fort, palace, no matter what it is. But if Allah Ta'ala wants to get to you, Allah will get to you. One bright spark, what you call a bright spark, Roshan Khayal person at one time, was a Muslim, working for government, the British at that time, used to keep a dog with him all the time. So when Buzruk asked, why you keep the dog with you? Say, haven't you heard the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The Malaika don't enter that house wherein there are pictures and there are dogs. He says, so? He said, Malakul Maut won't come. Malakul Maut won't come, but I got a dog with me. Say, that hadith refers to the Malaika of Rahmah. The angel of Rahmat won't come near you. So you've got bigger problems. By keeping the dog, Malakul Maut is still going to come, and you have distanced yourself from the angels of Rahmat and Mercy. Better get rid of the dog. The man's logic doesn't work. How Allah Ta'ala protects when Allah wants to get to you, you can't make your own interpretations and say, I will escape. وَلَيْسَ بِمُعْجِزِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ Allah says they cannot make Allah Ta'ala helpless and escape from Allah, whether in the skies, whether in the earth. You can't escape from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Today we find Kufara preparing for the, what they call it, Big Bang or Armageddon, whatever they call it, Qiyamah. And they're making bunkers and whatever. They want to live through Qiyamah. They want to live through Qiyamah, understanding that what they're doing is a sign of Qiyamah themselves. But they want to escape it. No person can. So the entire protection of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is so unique. Allah Ta'ala protects. In dunya, we find you can have what protection. Whether it be cyber, IT, how the hackers get through, nothing. You just can't. They find some loophole or the other. Allah's protection, who can break it? No one, how much they tried. Afghanistan, Hazrat says, how much they tried? 20 years. 20 years, they say, we have such satellites. Hazrat used to give the example also. Yeah, we can see what a person is doing in his backyard also. Hazrat used to say, they even can see now the brand of cigarette you're smoking on the cigarette itself. But they couldn't find one Osama, one Mullah Umar, they couldn't find him. Allah protected. In the mountains, in the caves, what the Hajjud must have been reading on mountaintops at that time. Allah Ta'ala protected. 20 years they couldn't, but everything else they could find. Whether that entire plane are blown up to pieces, but they found the passports of the bombers in it. How they found it, Allah jani. But Allah's protection, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala shows every day how He protects. Al-Hafiz with extreme care. That Al-Hafiz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protector with extreme care, protects the chicken inside the egg. The chick inside the egg and the child inside the mother's womb in such a way that one is forced to accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest protector and the protector of all. Is a mother's womb, how much can she protect the child? Even she can't. Allah shows you how ajiz, how helpless you are, that your own child in your own womb, the mother says the child is bridge, whatever they call it, bridge is called. That certain position is your child, is your womb, you sort it out. Allah gives him ta'wiz wazifa. But it's your body. You sort it. You can call the most intelligent gynecologist also. So many years experience. Can't do anything. Say, make dua. Hope for the best. Yet it will turn. Allah shows you, it's only me protecting. Three layers of darkness. One is the body. Then is the stomach. Then is the womb. Allah Ta'ala is forming their child, developing their child in three layers of darkness, as the Quran says. يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ وَمَحَاتِكُمْ In the mothers of your wombs, no electricity to manufacture anything. You know the system of the world, to manufacture anything, you need a large plant. Three-phase power, if not more. You need water, electricity, you need staff, you need expertise, you need machinery to make one small thing also. Smallest item, you need a big plant. Allah says, I'm creating insan, the smallest plant. In the womb of another human being, with no electricity, with no light whatsoever, with my qudrat are making it. And see how I protect this child also. How the child will come out formed, how everything is already put in place. The child cries, life comes into it, and subhanAllah, another baby came into the world. Allah's qudrat, Allah, how Allah is doing it, how Allah Ta'ala fed it over there. It's only the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the child in the mother's womb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating it, Allah ta'ala is taking care of it, Allah is protecting it. What a life of ease and protection a chick and a baby live in the egg and the womb respectively. What a comfortable life. Allah has given the child complete comfort in the mother's womb and the chick in the egg. Complete comfort. The child will never feel comfort again like that once he's out in dunya. Can have the best bed, the best home, but what it enjoyed in the protection and comfort of Allah, it will never get in this worldly life. Allah kept it over there. That they regard this place as a spacious world within the egg and within the womb. Fully supplied. They move about and they benefit from blood, water, moisture and air. Then with great affection they emerge into the world at the appointed times. Thereafter their parents along with the light of the sun and the moon begin protecting them. They serve them, nourish them and take care of their comfort and nourishment. If Al-Hafiz, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protector, withholds his protection from them for even a second, then will they ever survive within the wombs? Never. So the Allah is that he's taking care of the entire system within the womb of the mother. Allah says, stop it. Which mother can continue taking care of what's happening within her? Even she doesn't know what's happening. Even she's not aware of what is happening right now within the womb, what Allah Ta'ala is designing, what's supplying, what happened last night, what's happening right now. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A weak sprout elevates or cleaves through a hard seed and through the breast of hard ground in order to emerge. Inside the ground, Al-Hafiz, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has protected it, saved it from destruction, and then granted this feeble creation such power that it could cleave itself and surface on the bosom of this hard ground. The light of the sun and moon protect and nurture this feeble creation until it becomes a stout tree. It then prospers and exhibits a commanding stature. How the tree began. Person puts tar, thick layer of tar. After 1-2 months, he sees grass growing through it. Yeah, we can tramp the grass, we can break the grass, but how the grass broke through it? Allah's Qudrat. The tower was solid. But on the corner, somehow the grass, sometimes the rooftop you find got a garden roof. She's weeds growing there. But how it, through the brickwork, it's so tough, even he can't break through it. But Allah's Qudrat. Allah shows you that how Allah Ta'ala system works. It's all in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is for us to recognize Allah. When you see, yeah, how you did this? That grass is growing right now on the tar. I can walk on it. The grass won't just break like that. But I can pull it out. I can break it. It will grow again. And how much you try now to kill it? Then it's still growing. It's still growing. Allah's command is there. You still have to grow. And Allah decides for it not to grow, to die. Then Allah ta'ala will kill it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects countless creations inside shells in the depths of the oceans. As soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withdraws His protection from any creation, it perishes. With what perfection does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not protect the sperm of the male entering the egg cells until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens it on land and at sea, in rocks, in fire and in water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects countless creation by day and by night. In the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah Ta'ala wanted to show him how Allah Ta'ala sustains. Allama Alusi has mentioned the riwayat. Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa, take your staff and strike the rock. He struck it. There's another rock within that. Oh Musa, struck that rock also. He struck that rock. There was a second rock. Musa struck that rock also, a third rock. Within the rock of rocks, he finds a little ant, little black ant. Within all those rocks, with an absolutely lush green leaf in his mouth. Ya Allah subhanahu. Allah said, O Musa, put your ear to the what this ant is saying. Subhanalladhi man yarani, wa yara makani, wa yarzuquni. Purity belongs to Allah who sees me all the time. Sees me all the time, sustains me, wa ya'rifu makani. Allah Ta'ala knows my physical address also. Allah Ta'ala sends a courier. The rosy must reach his ant. Say, Ya Allah, that ant also you feeding. And that ant you didn't forget about. In the layers of rocks and rocks, Allah Ta'ala is saying, Allah, this is how you feed. Your Qudrat, Allah is protecting that ant within that rock, Allah Ta'ala is feeding it. But then to insan has doubt. Walking on the surface of the earth, Ya Allah, whether it will happen, it won't happen. How much Allah Ta'ala wants us, just trust me. And we know if my own wife doesn't trust me, how I feel, you don't trust me. You feel now, small, belittled. Children don't trust me. Allah says, you don't trust me. How you reach where you are right now? Who took care of all your limbs and your faculties? Only me. You still don't trust me. You still don't trust me. You're still going headlong into dunya and you don't want to leave a little bit to move in the path of Allah, which you applying yourself in dunya so that I can move in the path of Allah. Now what I'm giving you, you're still afraid now that I'm going to do something to you. It's only from Allah. Protection only from Allah. Prosperity only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we see this da'wah we have to give over and over again till it comes into the heart. Entire dunya is giving da'wah and inviting away from Allah. The only way to diffuse that da'wah is to give the correct da'wah. To speak at home about Allah. To listen to the talks of Allah. If you're sitting in the car, you're listening to the news, you're getting bombarded. Only Farooq Makki sahab says, when it comes to batil and falsehood and news, etc., he will say that, amitul batil bitarki dhikrihi. That kill batil, kill falsehood when I'm speaking about it. Because it thrives on media. Falsehood, that is fake news. Right? It thrives on media. He says, when you speak about falsehood, batil, everything besides Allah is false. As more as you speak about it, he says that person now who is on deen, by hearing it now, it will weaken him. It will weaken him. That person on the fence, speak about batil, falsehood, this country, this force, that army, they're controlling the economy, they're controlling the land and the dollar, and they're supplying, they're doing this, and they got a pipeline running through all these things. The more you're going to speak, that person on the fence will fall on the wrong side. He said, well, they control you. So we've got to work with them now. We have to go to the banks. We've got to take out the insurances. We've got to do. Because he spoke so much about it, he believes it. And the person is already on the wrong side. You see, there's no hope now. We just got to live like that. There's no hope now of bringing complete deen and sharia in my life. So to diffuse this false yaqeen, we have to speak about the qudrat, the power of Allah. So this comes into the heart. We've got to speak it. Our Hazrat gives the example also. He says sometimes the person giving the bayan himself. And he gives the whole bayan on the qudrat of Allah. That Allah is a doer, Allah is a sustainer, Allah protects, Allah ta'ala does everything. He says make this a reality in your heart, in your life. Shouldn't be that now you give the bayan, or you give the da'wat, etc. And after the entire bayan, he says now the same Morana goes and sits with his friends in Dasar Khan. They say, Morana, the rand dollar is fluctuating. But he says, hey, the jutla is controlling. Morana, what bayan you give just now? See, Allah Ta'ala does. It's only a bayan. But what's in the heart came out now. What has to go in the heart, what has to come out is a reality. Even outwardly from the asbab and the means, yes, Allah Ta'ala has put a system in the world. That system too is in place because Allah Ta'ala is wishing it to be in place. Now it collapses sometime, then it comes back on again. Even they can't understand what happened. They helter-skelter. Whether it be what, say, Wall Street, or this JSE, even they're not sure what happened now. The Bitcoin was so high, then it dropped all of a sudden. Depression came in. Brother said, it's worth so many millions, now I'm a pauper. Then it kicks in again. You want to put him on medication. You don't look stable, but you need some medication to keep yourself stable now. But they're playing mind games with iman, yaqeen, that figures will make me successful. So this has to be diffused. That is why our Kabir is saying our children are being bombarded. We know we went to school. 12 years bombarded. If you don't perform, what are you going to eat? If you don't do this, what are you going to eat? If you don't do that, what are you going to eat? The whole thing is paid kamasla. Who's going to protect you? Who's going to do for you? What's going to happen to you? But Allah Ta'ala has a system. We're going to tap into the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wonderful and amazing techniques of protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we don't have confidence in Allah Ta'ala's system of protection, which is a perfect system. Therefore, we see so many a person now, once what you say, jepo the system of Allah Ta'ala also. But that too. Allah has a system of insurance. Pay your zakat. Allah says, insured. Nothing will happen to you. Send your wealth ahead. Hadith Sharif says, you send your wealth ahead in the path of Allah, you have saved your wealth from theft, from water, and from fire. It's gone already. Nobody can steal it from you. It won't go into the floods. It won't burn also. You send it in the path of Allah. Once you put, he says, Haji Imdadullah, you say, Rahmatullah Ali, that once you've put the sadqah in the hand of the poor man, you've already deposited that money in the bank account of Akhirat, free of charge. No bank fees. So because we have doubt, In this, therefore, we find people are taking up policies, insurance policies. Every day we're hearing the policy, which was on my father, on my mother, on my wife, policies. Why we don't trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes the husband is taking it out. And worse than that, now he's putting in his will also, as you mentioned before, that after my demise, a certain fund, a certain the same policy, mustn't go to any of my children, or my son mustn't get it until he's 25 years old. So he was to call the shots now from the qabr also, that hold on. From there too he was to call the shots. I must do this, I must do that, I must do this, I must do that. From there also. Allah Ta'ala has a complete and perfect system of inheritance, miras. Complete and perfect, leave it to Shariat. Yes, we go to the ulama ikram, ask them, we live in a Muslim country, when it comes to taxes and transfer taxes and all these things, okay, that's a different issue altogether. But when it comes to inheritance for the heirs, there now we don't interfere. There we don't interfere. And many a person don't understand these masail also, then they do the wrong things. Then you see the barakat is gone thereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wonderful and amazing techniques of protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Musa alayhi salatu wasalam grow up in the house of the enemy of Bani Israel, that is Fir'aun. Imagine now. The Nabi of the time, who was the one now to destroy Fir'aun, Allah ta'ala brought him up in the lion's den. Who fed him? Fir'aun. Best of food, best of accommodation. Allah ta'ala showed in the enemy's house, I'll bring you up. Even he can't harm you. Even he can't harm you. While the animals are made to look after the children of human beings, a few years ago a person was admitted to a Lucknow hospital for treatment. He had been bitten in infancy by a wild animal. However, due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, these animals began nurturing him in the jungle also. We found incidents like that. There were some apes, monkeys, snatched one child, and they took care of the child also. Until he became a young man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection encompasses every atom and leaf of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the core of the fruit with a hard cover. And He protects the freshness of plants with moisture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects those fruits which in addition to an outer skin require additional protection with thorns which grows in its midst. Thorns protect plants just as horns shield animals and beaks and claws safeguard birds. All Allah ta'ala's system in His creation. Allah Ta'ala protects. You see the watermelon, hard cover. Some are soft, some are hard. Some in the core of it, the seed is hard. To protect the seeds within it, Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala protects. If Allah Ta'ala can protect all these things, Ashraful Maqulukat, the best of the creation of Allah, how Allah will not protect us. So we have no fear. For this ulama say that person who will fear Allah Tabarak Wa Ta'ala and protect the commands of Allah, then because of his fear of Allah, protecting the commands of Allah, when he's been challenged, because of his fear of Allah, Allah will put the awe of this person in the hearts of the creation. You want to perform his salah, but they'll say no salah here. He'll open the musalla. They won't be able to stop him. Started his salah already. He needs to do his amal, whatever it is, they will now give you musalla also. Please sir, you may pray over here. You can perform your salah over here. You can do this over here. They'll make for you musalla and jamaat khanas and wuzu khanas, etc. But here also, Hazrat Wala says, you see Mufti Ibrahim Salaji Sahib also, they say when you come to public areas, read your salah in public. Even though there be a musalla somewhere in a remote place there, right? If it's convenient, then read it and open. Then the kuffar see our namaz. It strikes awe in their heart. He strikes awe in the heart. Read your salah in public. But if you have to go to the musalla, if you make wuzu, etc., then by all means. But more than often, if you're traveling, read your salah open. The open people must see our salah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshaAllah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We were discussing treatment of anger. So last week we discussed the miracle of the buzruks, the karamat that Allah Ta'ala displays upon the hands. Although miracles of the awliya are true, they are not a requisite for being a wali of Allah. They say the biggest karamat of any wali of Allah, the biggest karamat and the biggest miracle of any buzruq or any believer is his pabandi and steadfastness upon the commands of Allah and the sunnahs. He is steadfast upon the sunnahs, that itself now is a karamat. Doesn't miss any sunnah. He's so aware of the sunnahs, that is sufficient. Like one buzruq, his murid wanted to relieve him. Asked him why. He said, I didn't see any karamats on your hand. He said, did you ever see me omitting any sunnah in all these years? He says, no. So what do you call that? He said, karamat. He said, stay here. Stay here. That itself is a karamat. You know how we slip up, we forgot the dua. Eating time, we discussed last week also in the Jummah program. When it comes to eating, the amount of sunnahs before eating. One is to learn them, to understand them, to implement them. Before we eat, to wash the hands, not to wipe them. Sunnat is not to wipe it. And the barakat of just washing the hands, look at how powerful one sunnat is. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the person who washes his hands before eating will never become poor. Poverty will never become his lot. One person went to his local imam, Imam Sahib, I can't get out of my debts. Imam Sahib said, wash your hands. He said, Imam Sahib, I thought you'd tell me to open another dukan. Get a better job. He said, wash my hands before I eat. Anyway, what do you want? Everything must be logical. It must make sense. It doesn't make sense. Washing my hands, you don't wash my hands off my debts. He said, you just wash your hands. Within 2-3 months, he came back. He said, everything paid. I can't understand. It's a hadith sharif of Rasulullah SAW. Wash your hands before eating, you'll be debt free. Allah will give you barakat. So these sunnats now, these are karamats that you didn't forget to wash your hands. Whether you're in the plane, whether you're in the train, whether you're in the car, time to eat, I wash my hands. Sometimes we have to get up. Ask a person, we went for the walima da'awat, we're sitting there. Now they got one speech upon another speech. What do you came to eat? Everybody sat down now. Now who's going to ask to wash their hands? Samosas came already. The chevro is half finished. Salad too is half finished. They're waiting for the main dish. Nobody washed hands. And how many people's hands you shook already? Handling the car, shaking people's hands, locking the car, coming into the place to sit and eat. You got to wash their hands. There's barakat in it. So very rarely you'll find now, brothers all getting up, you're going to wash your hands. If you can't, then take the bottle water there. Take one spare glass, and wash your hands in the glass, a little bit. You got some water in your hands, then you can start eating Bismillah. Then do wash your hands, then do read Bismillah before eating. Bismillah, wa barakatillah. Now you see the barakat in the food. Only the sunnahs, which fingers to eat in, more than often you'll find. Be observant and find which fingers we eat with. Sunnah is 3 fingers. The thumb, the kalima, index finger, and the middle finger. Those 3 are sunnah. You find most part of the ummah, even our own children who see us eating, they eat with these 3 fingers, the last 3. The last 3 are all 5. So somehow, I don't know how come, when it comes to the sunnah, by default we do the opposite. Like I always mentioned, the child, although he's a righty, but he eats with the left hand. He'll eat with the left hand. He put on his shoes now, left leg first. But when he's playing cricket, then he'll bat with the right hand. But as soon as he loses the left hand, opposite. Shaitan is working, nafs is there. So you got to carry on reminding. If we remember ourselves also, as you will see us doing it, they will do it the same. So 3 fingers we eat. Imagine the whole family eating according to sunnah. We can imagine the barakat in their home now. The love of Allah that overcomes the entire family is eating like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like he's the sirkhan. With all the sunnahs, sitting on the floor, according to sunnah. That's how we are, people of the floor, people of the ground, the people of the table. In Sharia, in Deen, in the Sunnah, in the Ahadith, there is no mention of any table. But for us now, the table has become like farz. Have to sit at the table. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring the Sunnah into our life. We'll bring it inshallah, our children will continue, we'll get the reward. The person who revives one dead Sunnah, the reward of 100 shaheed. We all want shahadat fi sabilillah. Allah said, you get the reward of 100 of them. Revive on sunnah when nobody is doing it. Eat on the floor. Put your 3 fingers. Then licking the fingers. If you have to eat with 5, permissible. Eat with 4, permissible. But sunnah is 3. Alright? There is jawaz, permissibility. When licking the fingers also, what is the tartib of licking it? The sequence. The middle finger, then the index finger, and then the thumb. 1, 2, 3. Teach our children 1, 2, 3. Just remind them 1, 2, 3. You understand? We use all 5, then it will be 1, 2, 3, and then the ring finger. Ring finger and then the baby finger. 4 and 5. That will be the tartib of licking the fingers. Hazrat says, imagine eating your food in the sunnah tariqah, you can become a wali of Allah. On eating according to sunnah, you become the wali of Allah. And you got so much of reward for it, which you have to do. You have to eat 3 times a day, or South Africa 5 times a day maybe, but you got sabab for it. Every luqma, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these na'ma, karamats, you remember to do it. In spite of you so busy. Now you know how, do you just forget? Having one chocolate, just unwrap it in the mouth. But they read Bismillah. But he's such in a hurry to open it now, forgot to read Bismillah. To thank Allah. After, and it happens. When sweets, chocolates, chips we're eating, after we finish it, there's no dua after that. We just throw the packet away, the wrapper away, you forgot to thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala put your name on the chocolate, you must reach him. What effort was behind it? We went in it before already, right? The whole tracking system, the supplier, and the entire thing, the staff packed it, etc. Somebody bought it for you. It came to you. Allah says, it must get to him. Allah didn't forget you. What do you forget Allah? But this itself is a karamat. The absolutely essential criterion is for obedience to the Sharia and the Sunnah. That will make you a wali of Allah. Even perpetual chastity is not a requisite. Perpetual chastity is not a requisite that a wali will never sin. Is that possible? Kullu bani Adam khatta'un. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said every child of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is a sinner. Except the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are ma'asum. But every person, a wali of Allah, will make sin also. And Allah Ta'ala has given them the solution, make tawbah and become my friend. The best of those that sin are those that make tawbah. Yes, this is a requisite for nubuwat. A wali, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can become weak and get involved in sin. But to remain a wali, the condition is that he repents and asks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person lived in the company of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi for 10 years, here's the incident, but he did not see any miracle taking place at his hands, Junaid Baghdadi. Disappointed, he decided to go away. Explaining his reason to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi asked him if he had ever seen him, Hazrat Junaid, doing any action against the sunnah or sharia in those 10 years. The man replied in the negative, I never saw you. Upon this, Hazrat Junaid said rahmatullahi alayhi, he drew a deep sigh and said, if a slave has not done anything to displease his master for even a moment in 10 years, can there be a greater miracle than this? That itself is a miracle. That now, to the best of his ability, he never displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mullah Riqari rahmatullah alayhi writes and he says, al-istiqamatu fawqa al-karama. A steadfastness upon the sunnah and sharia is more virtuous than 1,000 miracles. Fawqa alfa karama. That to be steadfast upon the sunnah, to do it every day, to use a miswak every day. I don't forget, I'm conscious. To carry my miswak. I'm conscious to carry certain things, my tasbihs with me, all the sunnahs I'm doing. The steadfastness upon the sunnah and the sharia is more virtuous than 1,000 miracles. Allah Ta'ala gave us sufi to make amal. Together with steadfastness also upon the sunnah and upon ma'amulat and amal, one point we have to mention also, remember. Our Hazrat mentions this also. In our minds and our hearts, we have to understand sharia completely in its perfect form, that what is farz is farz. That I have to do, there's no compromise, I've got to do it every day. All is farz, what is wajib is wajib. Each one has a category and you've got to fulfill it accordingly. Then you have the sunnats, you have the mustahabbat, commendable acts. Alright? So farz is no leeway. Alright? There you have to carry it out, the wajibat, with the salah is wajib also, that you have to perform every day. Wajib huquq, wajib rights upon you, family, parents, wife, children, that we have to fulfill. That we have to do. Sometimes what happens, a person now, he engages himself in some a'mal, like ma'amulat. Make dhikr every day, munajat maqbool every day, Quran tilawat every day. Now we know what are the ahkam and the rules, what this categorizes it. These things are not farz. Understand clearly what I'm saying. These things are not farz. We have to do it. Our evening du'as, morning du'as, our tabarak, waqiyah, yasin, sharif, all these things over here. So ulama are very clear that don't make these things so farz upon you that if you don't do it, you feel like, you know what, I'm doing some sin. Or if somebody didn't do it, you're regarding to be a sinner, now you're making that sunnah a farz. Now you're making that mustahab a farz. So sometimes, Hazrat mentioned, sometimes he says, not all the time. This for a person now who has istiqamat and steadfastness, he's doing the amal every day. So this is now and then, don't do it. Now and then, don't do it. Example, zikr. The person is, every day he's pardoned, he says, I don't must my zikr. He says, sometimes you mustn't do it. Is that farz? So don't make something which is not farz, farz upon yourself. What is farz that you must do? And the rest that are sunnat, mustahab, yes, we do it still, but with a clear mind. We know this is not farz. So if somebody is not doing it, then you don't look down upon that person. Some things we learn as adab also. These are etiquettes. We learn how to do this, how to eat, how to put this sarkhan, etc. These things we learn sometimes from mashayikh, from ulama, ikram. Right? So you might see somebody doing contrary to it. So we should not react like now you're saying haram is doing. Now we're making that farz. No, you have to do it like that. This is the adab. It's a mustahab. It's sunnah. Closest to the sunnah. So we leave it. But in our hearts, we make it binding upon ourselves. But sometimes we have to leave it out. The Sayyidah saying back, like somebody asks us, another person, and every day you read full namaz, all the sunnahs. Sometimes leave it out also. Now and then, understand, our now and then doesn't mean every second day now. But we only doing it every second day. Like once in a month sometime. Once in 2 months sometime. So we clear, we haven't made this thing farz upon ourselves. Sometimes we impress so much upon it, our children, our spouses, or other people. So there has to be a balance. What's farz that we must do completely? Hukuk and rights of people are farz upon us and we have to fulfill it. Other amal, ma'amulat, we do it with the correct mind frame, mindset. These things have to be done, alhamdulillah. But now and then I have to omit it so I don't make it farz. Even when it comes to the sunnat qirat in salah. Example, on Friday mornings, the sunnat qirat in the first rakat is surah al-Ifrahim sajda. Second rakat, surah dahr. Although most of the imams don't read it. Because it's not a norm for people to, they can't stand too long. In our own masjid also, one person, years ago I asked him, by Fajr namaz, Friday, Jummah morning, you're managing 12, 13 minutes. Say, I'm managing. 10 years later, I asked him, he said, hey, you're killing me. I said, why? He said, I'm a heart patient now. You're still a young man, I'm going old. So Al-Ifrahim Sajda and Surah Dahar is Sunnah. So most of our mashayikh, they should read it every Jumu'ah, and sometimes they would omit it. So the people don't think now the thing is farz. It's Sunnah, leave it upon the Sunnah. In the month of Ramadan, we know the Sunnah Qiraat Witr, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la, Surah Kafirun, Surah Ikhlas. Three surahs, other surahs also. But they would read it more than often, but not every day. As much as they love the sunnah to hear it every day, but they will tell you to omit it now and then. So people understand, we understand also is that farz. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه الله 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 جل جلاله الله 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 جل جلاله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا أرحم الراحمين forgive us for all our sins my كريم رحيم الله يا الله purify and cleanse our hearts يا الله our eyes, our ears, our tongues. Ya Allah, purify and cleanse us and make us yours, O my Allah. Grant us your muhabbat and your darda dilum, O my Allah. Give us love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us love for every sunnah, knowledge of every sunnah, amal upon every sunnah. Accept our lives, O my Allah, for the khidmat of deen and the entire alam, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, accept all the programs which take place in Islahi Jalsa. Make it easy, make it a means of hidayat. Ya Allah, give us something to attend and to benefit, O my Allah. Grant us to Allah the best of health, afiyat, sihat, and salawat, and qabool. Ya Allah, it's for you the barakat spread in the entire world. Ya Allah, make it a means of hidayat. All those sons that are attending, Ya Allah, bring them safely with the afiyat. Return them, Ya Allah, ghanimeen, salimeen. With their hearts blooming with your muhabbat and your love. Ya Allah, all those who don't have intention, Ya Allah, accept them also, my Kareem Rahim Allah. Accept all of us, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Grant us the best of dunya, qabr and akhirat, Ya Allah. Keep us upon hidayat. Ya Allah, give us husni khatima, khatima bil khair. Ya Allah, give us zid upon iman. The entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين آمين.
This update in regards to the program this weekend. The bus is almost full. How many seats left? There's about 12-15 seats left on the bus, inshallah. What time the bus is leaving? 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock the bus will leave from opposite checkmark on Crescent Road, Crescent Street. So those that still want to go or they want to send anybody, they can contact Abu Shaib, inshallah. There's still place on the bus over there. The bus will leave tomorrow at 8 o'clock, inshallah. And return on Sunday, inshallah.
Very beneficial programs. Youngsters will enjoy it on the bus. We have some seniors on the bus also, alhamdulillah. So the bus is there. The flights are still available. Brothers can come even Sunday morning. Get the main program at least. Minimum. Or come Saturday evening. Get the evening program. Ash'ar will be there. Hazrat will be giving a bayan. Spend the night in the path of Allah Tabaraka. And stay in the environment. That's the most important thing. To stay in the environment. That is where we'll benefit the most. We don't know when these opportunities will come again. We saw when it came to COVID time, that's when we learned the lesson. Ya Allah, if this could happen to us in our worldly life, what opportunities we get now, Ya Allah, we're just going to grab it. Because we don't know whether we're going to get it again. We can't say we'll see next time. We know that year also, how many brothers said, December time, I won't go for Umrah, I'll go in Ramadan. 2021. 2020 it was. Many brothers told me that time. No, we're not going in December, too expensive, we'll go to Ramadan. They never saw the Ramadan after. So now Allah Ta'ala has opened, and years ago in the 90s, when Umar Palampuri would say, Rahmatullahi, Nizamuddin. He said, Abi Bail, nikal jao Allah ke raaste mein. He said, move now in the path of Allah. The time will come when you want to go, and you won't be able to go. He mentioned this years ago, maybe 30, 40 years ago. He said, go now, the world is open for you. Move, go country to country for the deen of Allah. The time will come, you'll want to go, but you won't be able to go. Where? How is this going to happen? And we saw it. We're sitting with a parcel of money, but we can't do anything with it. Now the opportunities are open. What we can grab, he said, do it now and think later what happened. Do it now and think later now what happened. Now we're going to make hisab kitab. We're not saying now, break the bank, or break the door and go. But within our means, whatever we can do, bismillah, go for it. Otherwise our money is going everywhere else. Invested in akhirat, inshallah. Family time we've given for years. Tell them little qurbani. One night, one afternoon, one morning. I'll take you next week, following week. You're still going to go. This program won't come again. Like I mentioned to brothers always, we heard of the Khankas in Thana Bhawan, the Thalmi Rahmatullah Ali, Gango, the Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, in Jalalabad, all these big Khankas we heard about. What incidents took place there? How brothers enjoyed it? I say, understand for us right now in South Africa, the Thana Bhawan and the Thalmi is sitting in Azadwal right now, our Sheikh. That is the Thana Bhawan. People will ask me 20 years from now, the youngsters, how was those programs in Azadwal? How was the majlis? You went there. You met Maulana. You met the Shaykh al Hadith. You met that. We read about it in kitabs. But you were there. You experienced it. Now they treat you like one Hazrat now. Actually, you went there, you sat there. How was the programs? It's all happening right now. For us Durban people, we know, ask many, many brothers. Now the Mahesh Patel Sahib is gone, Rahmatullah Ali. He said, hey. I said, I'll go, but never end up going. I got left behind. Opportunities are there. Book the ticket, don't think twice, and move. And I promise you, you know, once we get there and we sit there, we say, hey, lucky I came. Alhamdulillah, Allah brought me. I should be spending the night at home and whiling my time away. Finally, Allah Ta'ala brought me and I came. And how you'll enjoy it, whoever came, never regretted. Whoever didn't come, always live with the regret. So don't live with regrets. If it's an opportunity, grab it, inshallah. So this weekend is a program in Azadwal, starting from tomorrow, Yom Jumu'ah, from Jumu'ah program. After every Salah, there'll be programs till Yom Al-Ahad, that is Sunday, till Zuhur, it finishes on time, the program. By 1 o'clock, everything is finished. There's no delay in it. Program will be finished, lunch will be served, and the bus will leave, whatever it is. The brothers catch their flights, we're back home already, inshallah. Then together with that, next week we got taqaza. We send out on the groups. As brothers know, we have two groups. Some brothers are maybe only on one group. I think the poster is there with the QR code. You can scan it. We have two groups for Spirit of Sunnah, where we send out notifications. One is a general group, which is open to everyone, and one is a notification group. So last week we posted in the group that there are a few Saathis that are getting ready to go for Umrah. And they're planning to leave by next week. Next week either Friday night or Saturday night. Tentative dates right now, Friday or Saturday. For just about 8 nights you can say. 2 nights to Aqsa, to Ihram inshallah, great reward for that. 2 nights Makkah Mukarramah, 2 nights Medina Munawwara, and we're back home inshallah. The Saathis are getting ready, they sent out the message on the group. Some people may say, I didn't know about it, so we're making Elan now. And is that a closed syndicate? That nobody is, because now I don't come to this program, so I can't come. Whoever can benefit, alhamdulillah. And together with that, I'm no tour guide. And I'm not making some commission or some cut anyway. Brothers got ready, alhamdulillah, we also get ready to join them. So they want to go, alhamdulillah, we also will join them, inshallah, myself. So any other brothers would like to join, it's an opportunity. Next week, Friday night or Saturday night, brothers will be leaving, inshallah. We'll join them also, Al-Aqsa, two nights there, tie ihram from there, make umrah, and then come back, inshallah. So this is not now a tour group or something like that. This, alhamdulillah, go have our programs, our islah, women the path of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, make our zikr, some bayan, some talks, etc. Alhamdulillah. Brothers came last year, the year before. We all benefited, alhamdulillah. So brothers that would like to join, so on these two groups that I'm talking about, one group we put this on the notification group. So if you're not in the group, then you wouldn't have known about it, so we're making alan. So you can scan there, maybe come onto both the groups. Then on the group also we send another link to Telegram group. Right, the group now who would like to join, then they can join that group. There is only for this safar that we are going for. So brothers that are inclined, they want to, they confirm, then they can join the group. And then they can ask whatever it is, whatever the cost, who's doing the booking, how they're doing the booking, the visa application, whatever it is. All we discuss on that group day, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accept all of us and take us over and over again, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, inshallah.